Good evening, fellow gooners. Welcome to the another edition of Cannon Talk, more like a bumper edition since we need to do some catching up. I was morning, my co-host as usual, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Arsenal take on Brighton. We discussed the game that we played against Munich at the Emirates, back at the Emirates against Aston Villa, and then the upcoming game tonight against Bayern Munich.
Yeah. So Arsenal traveled down to the South Coast to tackle Brighton. As I mentioned last week, away to Brighton always felt like being a thorn in our side. But I mean, Arsenal were already coming out, you know, with teeth showing, after that good run since the start of the year. Brighton were also trying to give us, you know, as good as they got. And I mean, like with the start of the game, Arsenal did crank up the pressure by the half an hour mark in the match.
Yeah, I know we did. We really put them under pressure from the word go. You know, it's not like we were trying to feel our way into the game. We actually really pushed. And I think Brighton couldn't handle the game being taken to them.
Yeah, and then on 33 minutes, Jesus ends up drawing a clumsy challenge from Lamptey. Saka then steps up and sends the keeper the wrong way and Arsenal go 1-0 up.
Yeah, 1-0 up and well-deserved, you know. And you just felt that Arsenal were in control of this game, but you didn't want to keep anything away too early to Brighton, you know, because you need a second invitation to get into the game. And I think with the lineup that we had, you know, this back four of late has been very, you know, I'm gonna say miserly when it comes to giving away goals. But I think was it Zinchenko that actually started into that kind of, you know, worried me a bit.
Yeah. Then we move on to the second half. Arsenal, you know, this time in reverse roles and now letting Brighton come at us, and then, doing more sporadic counterattacks from the, you know, from the Arsenal side. But I mean, still clearly in control of the match.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of, you know, that were you talking about where Arsenal almost play that game like City, where they go 1-0 up, but they almost kill the game off and just almost wait. It was like a boring Arsenal, you would say. And then hopefully try to nick a second and then just end the game as a contest from there.
Then, quite late in the second half, Jorginho, of all people, gets himself down to the byline. He ends up, you know, cutting the ball back and Havertz ends up, you know, coming in between two defenders of Brighton and stabbing the ball home and Arsenal go 2-0 up.
So 65 million down the drain. Kai Havertz scores again. You know, Kai Havertz really, you know, making himself quite a menace up top.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also it's almost like making him, I don't know, like he's building his own character up now, you know, playing in that position. Because for me, you know, going into the season, that he kind of looked lost at times. You know, as much as, look, I know for a fact that you also were telling me in private messages, like, you know, you hope it comes off. And I mean, there was a time, I think, was it close to the end of 2023, where you and I were almost like at the point where we go, like, you know, must the person still back him? Because it's like, everything he does is like overdoing and trying too hard. And I don't know, almost like that Dubai trip almost like also brought back a rejuvenated Kai Havertz, but also somebody that actually now knows and finds like a true place now for himself in the club, in the team setup.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think that number nine position, yeah, has kind of made his own.
Yeah. So late on in the match, Trossard, you know, comes on as a sub, you know, to mostly boos in the crowd from the Brighton fans.
Yeah.
Majority of them. And I mean, fantastic breakaway goal by Arsenal, where Kai Havertz ends up nicking the ball, playing the ball, like, you know, through to Trossard. Trossard ends up running, like, one-on-one with the keeper, sends him a little dummy. And when the goalkeeper goes down, he ends up dinking the ball over, and Arsenal wrap up the game 3-0.
And he standing, accepting the applause in front of the Arsenal fans. And I don't know if you saw his tweet on Twitter where he was like, are you not entertained, you know, of the gladiator?
Yeah, but I mean, look, for somebody that gave also so much years of service to them, I actually thought they'd be, you know, but because it's not like he was like pushing for the move.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you remember, we were trying to get Mudrik, that thing failed like almost like at the 48th hour. And Arsenal like had him as almost like the next best type of thing. But I mean, he ended up almost like being a way bigger impact player than Mudryk ever was now.
Yeah, Mudryk is even struggling to make the Chelsea 11, you know, so, you know, maybe dodge the bullet there. But like you said, 3-0 to Arsenal, 3 points, and, you know, top of the league we go. And I think that Sunday, United managed to steal a draw at Old Trafford. And I think we were happy as Gooners, top of the league, and going on to play a Champions League quarterfinal for the first time since I was a teenager. Basically, the last time we were quarterfinalists up was 19 years old. I'm now 33, so, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, the big clash at the Emirates, Bynet brought, you know, all the players, even those that had, like doubts that I mentioned prior.
Yeah, I remember when the lineup came out, and I'm like, but you did, like, you know, Zana is out. That's what happened. Like, they're all starting now.
So, yeah, in came Neuer, De Ligt, Dier, and Gnabry. And, I mean, I think at the end was, I just thought to myself, okay, either way, because, look, I've been following also Bayern's. At times, it's been almost like the catastrophic domestic season. So, I mean, I just thought, okay, you know, they can be, you know, got it, if I can put it like that. So, I mean, yeah. Arsenal start also, like, with a frenetic pace with Bayern, you know, having no fans at the Emirates. Arsenal actually making, I didn't expect this, but Arsenal actually making use of that away block to fill in even more Arsenal fans. So, I mean, you can imagine the stadium was rocking then.
I, like, you know, from watching the game at home, I don't know how you heard it, but, like, I didn't hear, I felt last season that perhaps the stadium was louder. Like, I didn't feel that it felt like an intimidating atmosphere or intimidating enough, you know. I could be wrong, but I never heard, like, you know, if you go to Anfield on a European night, you know, you can should be sure to be heard that the crowd's going to be going off.
Because, you know, I think my biggest problem, look, I was kind of almost like, what's that word now? Almost like in denial, because my son, Maxim, he ended up saying also, like, you know, something doesn't sound right, because, like, he was saying, it's like they sing, like, for 4 or 5 minutes, like, you know, loud. And then yes. He said, almost like, then there's, like, this lull, and almost like somebody remembers, oh, yeah, we must sing or chant, or one of the players you'd see, like, you know, waving the arms in the air, like, you know, like, crank up the sound. But back to the match, after fantastic work on the right, Saka ends up making a great breakthrough run, gets into the Bayern box. And then with a curling effort, Dito catches Neuer out and Arsenal go 1-0 up.
Yeah, I like, you know, I actually got up from my seat and sprinted through the house celebrating the goal. And I told my wife, you know, like, this is it, you know, this is like the Arsenal. We were coming up showing, you know, what we're made of, you know, coming up against Bayern Munich and taking the lead. And I just told myself, you know, let's just be mature about this. Let's just, you know, how can I say, flex our muscle more in the game and, you know, try to get a second.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is where that feeling was also coming across to me, because eventually with that, you know, that lead and that quick fire start, Arsenal naivety and inexperience also started coming to the fore, because even though it was like a 12-minute goal, I thought, you know, we were going to really build on from that and, yeah, you know, really, you know, tear Bayern a new one. But it's almost like the moment we scored in that, it's almost like we just started playing more sloppy, got reckless in with the passing, and almost like started chasing too hard for the second. I don't know what your opinion was, like, after going one up.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like the atmosphere of the stadium, like, also, like, didn't rock enough. Like, just imagine, like, and I hate comparing it, but, like, can you just imagine Liverpool going up 1-0 against Bayern Munich at Anfield? How that stadium would, you know, would have rattled the players. But it's like, you know, the stadium went, you know, into a lull again. Arsenal players tried to complicate things. So just playing, you know, playing your game like they have been the whole season, you know, not whole season, but, you know, since that winter break that they had. I mean, they just went into a shell. I mean, look how they played against Liverpool.
But Aiden, don't you also on this feed? It's almost like, look, I don't want to now be almost like be controversial or anything like that. But sometimes it almost like feels like it's a more I want to say tourist type of vibe, but it's almost like people that like or fan bases that like a corporate type of vibe. So it's like, yeah, you hear that, like, you know, when you hear that Arsenal, when they're playing away, you can see it's a total difference of the fan base that are, you know, doing away games and those that are actually, you know, filling up the Emirates Stadium. And I don't know, it just feels sometimes, as much as all those records they throw out, sometimes I currently feel, even though, like, look, we've been doing well this season, but it's like we sometimes want to get overwhelmed at the home stadium. So it's not like you're going to see almost like your 6-0s, 5-0s regularly, you know, like what we do away from home. And with us at the Emirates, it almost like seems, but for like really poor teams like Sheffield United or Palace, and then they came there. With other teams, it's not like we're just getting over the line at times. And I think this is something you mentioned years already to me. And I kind of almost like played it down in that. But I mean, you that was also a point that now shows itself, what you've been always saying all along.
Yeah, I was needed, like, let's say the Emirates is a fortress, and to a point it is results-wise, but, yeah, you know, clean sheets-wise, we're always, you know, leaking a goal, you know, whether it's, I mean, we go to our form this season again at home, you know, okay, the Champions League, we did run the riot, but, I mean, if we go back, you know, we beat Burnley 3-1, and then we beat Wolves 2-1, we then okay, Brighton 2-0, then we beat Liverpool 3-1, yeah, so then 4-1 Newcastle, 2-1 against Brentford, I think, and then, you know, we are quite susceptible to conceding a lot of goals at home, and maybe it, I don't know what it is, if we're playing with pressure, or if they just, you know, they don't know how to, like, teams just set up differently against us, because Bayern Munich did play quite pragmatic against us. You know, they weren't really coming at us. They were kind of playing, like, you know, route one balls, or playing a ball into Harry Kane for Harry Kane to play, you know, somebody in behind the defense. So it wasn't like they weren't coming at us. And I think at the Emirates Stadium, teams normally just sit in front of us, which and makes it, you know, a bit more frustrating for us.
Then on 18 minutes, Gabriel ends up taking a poor touch, like also from a long ball that was just hoofed forward. He ends up getting pressured by Kane. Raya ends up finding himself in no man's. And I mean, almost like all hell starts breaking loose, because as the ball ends up breaking, Goretzka ends up getting us, almost like catching us on the break. He ends up feeding Gnabry, who then ends up stabbing the ball through Raya's legs, and it's 1-1.
That was absolutely... Oh, that was ridiculous. I mean, you know, Raya first, you know, I blame everybody involved in that, like between Gabriel and Raya. Not one isn't more guilty than the other, because yes, people say he put Gabriel under pressure and made him nervous, and, you know, he didn't know what to do. But I mean, first of all, Raya, what is he doing there? Second of all, if you Gabriel and you see that happening, you know, just put the ball into the stands so that everybody can regroup, and just, you know, you can maybe shout at Raya and ask him, like, what are you doing? But don't try to be cute and try to play a ball to Kivio, who is also under pressure. Like, you know, sometimes in that instance, just put the ball in the touchline and then regroup, and there we go. But, you know, we find ourselves now 1-1.
Yeah. Then on 29 minutes, Zane ends up spinning off Kivio. And, of course, like, once he turns Kivio, there's no, you know, Kivio can't really catch up to him because he doesn't really have the turn of pace. So Zane then ends up slaloming through our midfield and eventually, you know, gets himself into the Arsenal box. Gabriel attempts to, like hack him down or something like that, but he ends up missing the challenge. And then Saliba comes in with this clumsy, you know, clip. And, I mean, he ends up tripping the player. And it's a stonewall penalty for Bayern.
Oh, I get what Saliba was trying to do, but, I mean, do it outside the box, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody should have done it. I mean, I go comparing us to Man City, but I'm sure there Rodri or Diaz or somebody would have just clacked it into Leroy Sané, and he would have also made it look like an accident almost. Mm-hmm. You know, the City is, you know, quite good at avoiding a yellow card, but I mean, they just allowed him to run and run and run, and next thing you know, Saliba dives in, like he never does that in the Premier League, but all of a sudden in the Champions League, where he does look quite a nervous wreck, just like clatters into him. And like you said, you know, penalty, and, you know, Harry Kane once again gets a penalty against Arsenal and converted. I don't know what Raya was doing, diving so early, allowing Kane to just, you know, make the penalty so easy.
I mean, I think it was a new type of technique that he did, like Carrick did say that he's now been working on, you know, going into the European Championship. So, I mean, I just think not more homework was also done on Harry Kane, I think. I don't know.
I think so. I don't know if you heard what he said. He said he watched us, David Raya in the penalty shootout against Porto, and he said David Raya dives quite early. Like, he chooses his corner quite early. So he said he waited for Raya to just make his mind up, and then he just slotted it in. So hopefully, you know, for the second leg, Raya is quite wise that, because it seems like Harry Kane always picks a penalty up against us.
Yeah. So Arsenal end up, you know, making a cluster of changes, and then Trossard comes on. Then, I mean, fantastic work by substitute Jesus. Ends up slaloming into the penalty area. He ends up, you know, sending, I don't know, a couple of the Bayern defenders for our dogs. Because I don't know if it was De Ligt or Dier that ended up just sliding.
Yeah.
Themselves. And I mean, Jesus ends up just teeing the ball perfectly up, and the on-rushing Trossard ends up and he just sweeps the ball home, and it's 2-2.
Brilliant finish, 2-2, and you kind of were thinking, you know, maybe, like, what was your thoughts? Were you like, you know, take the draw and just, you know, we were 2-1 down, take the draw and go back to the Allianz Arena, or do you think, you know, push and get the winner? Like, can you make it 3-2 or 4-2?
I thought we could still make it 3-2, because you could actually see Bayern were, finally tiring in that game. But we needed, another 10 more minutes in that game, because you could actually see Bayern were at one point, look, I know substitute Coman ended up, you know, eating one shot against the post late on. But it's also like what you were saying early on about Bayern were almost like playing very, almost like a conservative, pragmatic type of game, just waiting almost like for any sort of errors that we were going to probably now, you know, because, you know, they probably now do watch our games closely. In the Premier League, nobody really takes advantage of, you know, sometimes when there's like a lapse in Saliba or White or, you know, whoever's at left back or Gabriel. And I think that is where they, you know, kind of wanted to pounce on chances. But that being said, I thought we were going to, you know, nick something late on. But as I said, what was kind of frustrating to me is like when you saw that loss, I think it was like injury time, I think. And I thought, look, we're going to, let us really have a go at it. Because I think it was 4 or 5 minutes. And also just knocking the ball around. And I thought, no, where's the urgency not to push on? Because I thought, they're not just almost like taking this thing out of the game when you got your opponent rocked on the ropes now.
Yeah, and then I thought Bukayo Saka, you know, was going to score that. I mean, I know it was quite controversial, the penalty. But, I mean, for me, all he needed to do was just bend the ball around Neuer. Like, we could have just opened the angle slightly and bend the ball around Neuer. Like, any contact of the ball around Neuer would have gone in. But I don't know if he was trying to look for a penalty or what.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what actually angered me, like post-match and whatever. Because I mean, like, you know, the nonsense I saw getting spewed online about, you know, the ref is this and Neuer did that on purpose or whatever. All I thought to myself is, look, sometimes you must also self-reflect as a fan. I mean, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but I mean, my straight take on it was, he dived.
Mine also.
Because you could actually see his foot was looking for Neuer's knee, and the reason I said is, why couldn't he just stay on his feet? Because when Neuer saw what he's trying, Neuer was going to pull away, like his legs
off. Yes.
And that is the time you go around the keeper, because I don't think he would have recovered for that. Like, you know, when you do that, what I would call back in the day when you were small, that Brazilian style goal, where you just go around the keeper and you roll it in the empty net. Because
100%.
Because you could see Neuer's putting himself away, knowing that, you know, this is like an old trick. This guy is going to throw himself down.
100%. I think, like I said, it was either that or Saka could have just kind of just given himself a half a yard, wrap his foot around the ball, and the ball would have gone into the net, open net, as you said.
And I mean, I think also with the positioning of Neuer, I think even like just what you now say, just getting boot to ball, no matter, it don't have to be a powerful shot, just like a little
trick. Yes.
And it would have been in, as you said, now.
Yes.
Because there was no cover defender for him.
Oh, that's frustrating. And I mean, that could have been 3-2. But, You know what I kind of take as a positive, you know, I know we'll probably get to the preview, but you know, reflecting on this result, you know, 2-2 sometimes is better than a 1-0 in a sense of, you know, Arsenal know what they need to do. Now, you know, we're gonna discuss the game, so we know what we need to do in terms of result wise. You know, it's not like, oh no, we're holding on for one goal. It's like, you know, you're going there on this even, just play. You know, you don't have to like think on the back of your mind, do I hold the goal?
I also think there's a big bonus is that away goal, the rule that fell away. I think that's a big bonus going to the game that we're going to discuss later. But with that, we move ourselves out to Arsenal, Aston Villa, the game on Sunday. The day after Liverpool ended up losing to, the day after Man City ended up beating Luton, what was it, 5-1? Something like that?
5-1, yeah, and then Liverpool kind of handed the initiative to Arsenal, you know, by losing to Crystal Palace, you know, 1-0. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, is this like, you know, the moment where in the title race where, you know, we just pull away from Liverpool and all we need City to do in the back of our mind is drop points somewhere and you kind of have a game's grace where, you know, you can lose to Spurs, not saying if you want to, or draw to Spurs or, you know, draw to United at Old Trafford starting the game. But like, when I saw the likes of Zinchenko starting already, I was like, you know, you know, and then Kai Havertz, you know, going back into the, you know, centre midfield and, you know, he's up front. I mean, Havertz in the midfield hasn't worked as well as he wanted to. And, you know, the midfield battle for me was kind of, you know, trying to maybe get the likes of Rice and Partey in the midfield together just to kind of just dominate that midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I was very much like you, so very surprised at the changes. And I mean, to be honest, I wasn't that happy, really, because, as you said now, I mean, we all saw that it don't work with Havertz playing in midfield. Because, I mean, as I said, that's why I actually now, you know, went in detail at the start of the podcast, mentioning how Havertz has made, you know, the centre forward, the number nine role he is at the moment, you know, the way things are going. That being said, onto the game, in the 18th minute, with Odegaard instrumental in a move, you know, he ends up freeing Saka then ends up hitting a pinpoint cross at the far post, and Jesus is unmarked at the back post, and I mean, he ends up making a total balls up of the headed chance.
Yeah, no, he seems to be struggling a bit with his finishing. I mean, I'm not sure how much goals he has, but has he got more than 5 goals in the Premier League this season?
I haven't even checked on my phone any stats like it, but I mean, he's got a terrible heading technique. I mean, if you think of that one goal he scored, I don't know if it was at the Emirates, where he almost like half-dived the ball. Okay, fine. But I mean, his whole body language of doing stuff with heading, his hands are like at a weird position when he's trying to wind up with his header. And it's, I don't know, it's like his technique is poor. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm not going to now, you know, try to make, you know, sugarcoat it or whatever. He's just like a poor header of the ball.
Yeah, I know. He kind of, you know, his finishing is still kind of to be desired at the moment. I mean, looking at his goals and assists in, you know, all competitions, I think it's 8 and 6.
Yeah.
Eight goals and 6 assists, but I'm just trying to find what his scoring is like in the Premier League. And I mean, you know, you kind of signed Jesus to be the guy to kind of get you goals in the Premier League.
Because, I mean, I was like, look, when I sent you that one stat of Leverkusen's title-winning run, when I showed you, like, what their top goal scorer is 11, but then it's like, you know, people around him.
Yeah.
Like, even fullbacks are in double figures already that are getting goals. I mean, I know I'm just drifting a bit off topic, but, I mean, I just think to myself, I mean, like, surely you must get, especially if you're in a role like that. But it's like, even like with, okay, I know sometimes people are always using that excuse of, yeah, he gets injured or whatever. But yeah, that being said, even if he has a full run in the team, he's still not really a danger. It's almost like me putting my faith now in Eden Nketiah, you know, banging goals left, right, and center. Because the same with Nketiah, I mean, that also was not the answer going into the season.
Yeah. And one thing I can tell you, which is actually, you know, quite alarming, Gabriel, our defender, and Gabriel Jesus have the same amount of Premier League goals. Okay, yes, Gabriel, the defender, played 8 games more, but it just tells you something. And then we have a look also, a problem is Martinelli and Declan Rice have the same amount of goals, you know. So Martinelli needs to, I mean, he had the same amount of goals and it's just as Declan Rice. So,
yeah.
You know, as an attacking player, goals aren't coming from enough places, you know, where it used to be in seasons gone by.
Yeah. Then in the 40th minute, Gabriel, you know, still jittery since his Bayern performance, ends up also hastily hacking the ball, and unfortunately it ends up cannoning off Zinchenko's back and allows Ollie Watkins to control the ball and fire low and hard, beating Raya, but the ball ends up cannoning off the inside of the post and away to safety. Poor by Arsenal.
Yeah, it is very poor by Arsenal. It's like, it was just nerves upon nerves, and then like you're thinking to yourself, like just Aston Villa have played a Conference League game on Thursday night, and you know for them it could be their first trophy in years. On like I can't even remember the last time they won a trophy in general, and the fact that Arsenal looked the team more leggy and more exhausted. I mean, I get we played Bayern, but these guys played Thursday. You guys played Tuesday.
Yeah. Then 41st minute, I mean, also probably one of the key moments of the match. Arsenal end up through Jesus. He ends up sending a ball through on the thing onto Trossard. And all Trossard has to do is just send the ball anyway away from the keeper. That's it. Because, I mean, that's like a clear-cut chance. And he ends up shooting straight at Emi Martinez. And the keeper ends up making a save. Arsenal fluff the chance to go 1-0 up into halftime.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, that was an easy chance. And, you know, it was just really getting frustrating. And
the
Havertz thing was working to an extent where he was getting in behind, but he wasn't getting the job done. And, I mean, Mikel Arteta, if he wanted to do something like that, you know, fair enough. But then start Thomas Partey with Declan Rice in the midfield, then play Havertz maybe slightly closer to Jesus, so that he can, you know, kind of play, they can play off each other, which could have worked, and give Odegaard a rest, because Odegaard was, you know, I know people say his work rate was immense, and, you know, he has been, but I think it's almost like he was getting himself to blind alleys as well, and kind of overworking him, overdoing himself at times.
Because I'm not sure if you know, it's regard to that one chance he also missed, where he could also just have almost like set Martin is on his backside and like done a dink, and I mean he ends up shooting like straight at the keeper.
Yeah, no, that we were just wasting chances, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, come on guys, like score a goal. Like I started like even sitting upright and just like, you know, started pacing, because I started getting nervous, because you know the longer the game wore on, it's like Aston Villa grew stronger. Then you know Zinchenko tries to nutmeg Tielemans, and you know Tielemans I think just takes the ball off him, and then I don't know if it was Tielemans or someone else, and then you know the Tielemans bends the shot and it like hits the crossbar and the post. And my eyes is like big open, and like I started like cursing at the TV, basically, like at the players, like, you know, what are you guys doing? Like, come on, this is your chance.
So on 67 minutes, Arteta ends up taking off White, and Trossard brings on Tomiyasu and Martinelli. I mean, the Trossard coming off didn't make really sense, because I really thought we needed like, you know, extra sort of firepower and life in the squad. I mean, like, in a way, I can also understand Ben White's substitution, because I think he was losing a lot of concentration in the defensive aspect of the game. Like, you know, getting reckless, getting caught high up the field, stuff like that. Then on 87 minutes, Jesus and Odegaard end up coming off. On comes Jorginho and Smith-Rowe. And again, I don't get the gist of the substitutions, because, I mean, you're chasing the game and now you bring on someone. And, I mean, what I didn't get was, you could clearly see Declan Rice is totally knackered, totally out of it. Because, I mean, I don't know how many times...
He was gassed.
Well, yes, he was gassed. Because, I mean, at times, any little break of play, his hands was on his knees already, like, you know, just trying to catch his breath in it. And then, I mean, with Smith-Rowe again, it's like, yes, against Luton, and then he can pull the strings. But, I mean, Aston Villa under Emery, they're wily. They're, like, almost like very street, very streetwise team right now. And I just thought to myself, I mean, it's the right things are going. We can't even buy a goal
No, and I think where Arsenal went wrong, and I'm not no manager, but if you're going to bring Jorginho on, bring Partey on with him, and then if you need to push Declan Rice slightly closer just for aerial threat and presence, do that so he doesn't have to work as hard off the ball. But it's like he wants Emile Smith Rowe to kind of work miracles, you know? The guy has hardly been a constant figure in the team, and you know, instead of just trying to you know shuffle maybe the formation or something. He throws on, like you said, Smith Rowe and what's the other change he made with it? Jorginho. And, you know, the team just looked way off balance.
And then, of course, with that, now you take that in consideration. Plus, more and more Zinchenko was causing needless rash decisions and making, you know, more blatant errors in play and judgment.
Zinchenko for me, you know, I don't, I hate having, you know, trying to you know, blame players and you know say this player's at fault or you know this player should do better, but you know I mean the ball he tees back at once he tries to nutmeg the players and it's just needless errors. And if we spoke, remember we spoke about Zinchenko's the type of player when Arsenal's leading 2-1, I think Ramsdale also had it in him. When Arsenal's leading 2-0. They will end up doing something so ridiculous that doesn't need to be done, and the score is 2-1, and suddenly you're on your nerves now.
I think that is where most of us, or you can see a hell of a lot of love given to Kivior at the moment, because it's like he's like a no nonsense. I'm not going to try to do this. Not a, my job is to defend, and I'm going to defend
Yes.
at all costs. I mean, look, he's not blessed with pace, but I mean, he will try his heart out because you know he's not going to make like a, like almost like a stupid mistake because he's going to give his all for the squad and not, you know, try to be amazing or like a baller or something like that. But that.
100%.
On the 84th minute, McGinn ends up finding Moreno, who ends up finding Digne. The ball is sent into the danger area in the Arsenal box. Arsenal are a mess at the back. I mean, Saliba and Douglas are even close to the ball. And then Leon Bailey, of all people, the substitute, comes in, darts in, and stabs the ball home. 1-0 Villa.
Yeah, and I was so pissed off because I wanted revenge against Villa after that 1-0 loss. And
Yeah.
now you're looking at the clock. You know, 84 minutes, kind of wishing they scored maybe 25 minutes earlier. But you're looking at that clock also, and now you're starting to think, will I accept a draw? Like, you know, at this point, I'm actually, I'll accept a draw. We'll only be 1 point off City, so I'll take a draw. And like, you're just hoping Arsenal, you know, is gonna pull a rabbit out of the hat. But like, instead of being calm, composed, and you know, just you know, being smart about things, like the whole team is almost, you know. In the Villas off without cover.
Yeah, because this is not my next point because it's like Arsenal are now getting desperate and playing that right into Villa's hands. And I mean, in the 87th minute, Tielemans ends up sending Watkins free behind the Arsenal defense. And I mean, only Watkins is so clever. He's already in their own half, knowing like that one long ball is going to take the whole Arsenal defense out of commission. And I mean, he ends up collecting the ball, being composed, even like just like slightly holding off Smith Rowe. And then as David Raya advances, he ends up dinking Raya with a, you know, deft little chip. I think it ends up just deflecting slightly off Smith Rowe's shoulder or something like that, which just loops the ball even further and it goes into the Arsenal net and it's game set and much well at 2-0.
I think at that point, you know, Smith Rowe should maybe taken one for the team, and you know, before he gets into the box, maybe just you know foul him because yeah, at that point you could have still changed the game. But you know what frustrated me? I don't know how you felt. The second goal goes in, and Arteta decides, okay, I'm gonna bring Nketiah on for Zinchenko. Like,
Not really. I
I don't know my language, but I mean, really, like, what the heck, like, Nketiah. Coming on now, like first of all, taking Zinchenko off now only, and then throwing on and Nketiah to do what? Like Nketiah hasn't done much this season, even though he scored more goals than Jesus this season in the Premier League. I mean, it just kind of sums up our attacking force. And you know, for me, it was game set and match, and now you kind of have to, you know, chase City now, and just hope that for some hook or crook they drop points somewhere.
So we move our attention now to this evening showdown at the Allianz Arena, Bayern Munich versus Arsenal, second leg of the quarterfinal. Lots of pre-match talk between the two sides, but I must say, you know, Thomas Tuchel, I don't know if you've also heard or whatever, but I mean,
Nah, I haven't heard anything what he said.
He's bringing up, you know, the history of Bayern, even though him and Arteta is head to head. Arteta has come out, you know, top so far, like with his stint in the Premier League. But look, the thing is, I'm not going to say you must take them lightly, because I mean, look, they've got a history and what's the word I'm looking for now? Because, I mean, they are, like, they got their pedigree. Yeah, that's the word. Pedigree in the Champions League. So, I mean, you can't take that lightly as well. But that being said, this is not the same Arsenal that they took apart, like, you know, year after year after year when we were playing regular Champions League football. So, this is why I actually hope that Arsenal, you know, can dish up something totally different and totally catch them almost like with their pants down their ankles.
I'm sure you'll take a March 2013 result when we beat them 2-0 at... Well, I think it was a who scored in that game? Was it a Giroud goal and or Ramsey or Koscielny had a 2-0 game?
The Allianz.
Yeah,
that was the thing. Yeah. I don't know, for some reason I was thinking more of that game when we beat them 2-0 with the Ozil goal.
At the end, the Ozil goal at the end, when the ball comes over the line, but then And Oxlade Chamberlain still like kicks the ball over the pole, and you think, did you miss this? But then Ozil celebrating. It was a good moment as an Arsenal fan. But the next game wasn't so good. You know, when they dunked us 5-1 at the Allianz.
You know, look, I know we talk a lot of crap in between the podcast, but I know for some reason when somebody mentioned Arsenal Bayern, I always think of this one night where I'm all like, you know, sick, showered, got my drink and snacks. And Toni Kroos with like a 25-yarder, almost like he just passes the ball into the net.
Yes.
At long range, the ball ended up like bouncing like twice or thrice before it goes into the net like that. And I'm
I think it was a 3-1 game, eh, was it?
Yeah. It's a game we lost that, I know. Because it was someone like, you know, Arsenal fans had the flags up there in the stadium. The flags were like rocking, and then it doop, like the goals get zapped like that. And it's like you're just sitting there, and all of a sudden the chips is dry and the beer is flat.
You know, that's the thing about being an Arsenal fan. You sometimes go into these games, like, you know, all showered, dressed, you know, and it's over within 5 minutes. You're like the one game that stands out, you know, speaking about Champions League, is that game against United when we, like, were 1-0 down in the first leg, and, you know, we should have been, like, 5-0 down, but we come to the Emirates, start like a house of fire, Kieran Gibbs slips, Park scores, but you're like, you know, you can still maybe make it 3-1. And then Ronaldo hits a 42-yarder, and you're like, oh, no, this is...
Didn't he stand like what's it, that one player you always mentioned to me, but then he stand with his hands on his hips, like Thomas Müller or someone like that?
Yes.
Andreas Müller, the German guy, yes. When he scores the penalty against England. When Ronaldo stands again, and I thought, and all of a sudden you just see all that flag start going off.
and it's like only like 10 minutes into the second leg, and like, oh, it's done. Like, I just hope that Arsenal can, like, you know, look, there's a chance, you know, we could go out. There's a point where Gary Neville, he spoke about England in the Euros, like, you know, what would be success and what would be failure. He said, you know, if England get knocked out to like a Georgia in the knockout stage, you know, that would be deemed failure. But if England, you know, come up against France like they did in the World Cup, gave their best shot, you know, they missed the penalty, lost 2-1, and, you know, out they go, you know, you can accept it. Like, same with us. If Arsenal, like, I know we all want to go through tonight, but if we go out there, give our all, you know, and Bayern was just a better team on the night, and, you know, we just got knocked out by one goal maybe, and you, like, can say to yourself, you know, we tried, you know, we should have done better, maybe Saka's goal could have made the difference, but we competed, and that's all we can do. It's like, you don't want to go to the Allianz, and you accept getting knocked out to Bayern at the Allianz, but you don't want to go to the Allianz Arena and get, like, smashed 3-4-0 or 4-1 and 4-2, and then you're, like, just licking your wounds, and that kind of, you know, goes to the Premier League, and it's almost like a downhill spiral from there.
Shit, I don't know why I'm lost. I don't know, maybe at times... You know what? Something that you always mentioned back in the day, I think when you were like a late teenager, you see something you can't learn to laugh at yourself through, you know, when someone's Arsenal have like this weird dump, I think you're probably right. But that being said, like, we move on, like, now onto the talking point section. look, with that, just to hop first, like with the title race thing, I'm not gonna throw in the towel. Like, I mean, I saw a lot of, like, you know, media and like some of the fan quarters, because I still think that, look, if it was like a 7-point swing or whatever as it stands, then I would have said, yeah, you know, Aiden, like, I don't think we're gonna. But I mean, for me right now, it's still 2-point thing. Everybody's now on the same points. Arsenal still have that almost like a sort of cushion of a goal difference if we should overtake City. But that being said, I'm not only, like, you know, really, like, you know, wave the white flag if I see it's, you know, mathematically impossible. But I mean, look, so far, the lads have given, you know, the utmost. We had that real purple weird patch that was like November, December, and then, like, now almost like against Unai Emery, it kind of reared its head. But I think we should have been better prepared. And also, it leads me now to the second point. Was also Arteta's decision making going into the game, because I felt like, you know, first sympathy for him, like, you know, losing the game to Villa. But when he got questioned in the press conference, look, okay, it's probably a typical manager's response or whatever. But when he goes, like, when they ask him, like, you know, do you think it was wise to let Trossard start or let Zinchenko or Jesus start when you had, like, you know, such a good run going? And then he goes, yeah, I'm the manager. And then I thought to myself, you know, like, right there, you kind of lost whatever. So I wouldn't say I lost faith in him, because, I mean, I still believe in Arteta and that. But, I mean, any sympathy I had, like, you know, when you have to lick your wounds after a defeat. And I thought, yeah, you make the decision, and look where that got you.
Yeah, no, I think he made a mistake. I mean, if you wanted to rest your players, you know, you had to rotate. You need to rotate a lot sooner and not rotate a lot. Like, you go back to, like, you know, games against Sheffield United and Newcastle and things like that. You know, you throw one player in there, then you rest another player. Then another game, you throw somebody in there. Like, you just kind of just pull them in, you know, but don't throw them in the deep end and say, okay, now you need to perform, like, you didn't make wholesale changes. I mean, I understand I don't know if you're trying to balance the team to compete in two fronts, but, you know, the Premier League, for me, it's I'm not saying it's easier to win, right? But I'm saying the Premier League, if you get your points, you know, for me, I think if Arsenal had to pick up points again, win against Villa, Wolves, Chelsea, and then Tottenham, you know, those four games, I think, you know, you could have looked at it down the line and say, you know, maybe City feels the pressure and City drops points somewhere, because right now they're also fighting on two fronts or three fronts again. They could win the treble again. And what I hope is, like, you know, doesn't happen with Arsenal last season, and where City literally had to play an FA Cup semi-final and Arsenal literally threw the game, you know, that weekend away, and then City basically were on top without having to kick a ball. So Arsenal need to just, you know, kind of pick themselves up from this defeat. I mean, they need to lick their wounds and not lick their wounds. They need just to, you know, get going and pick up, and a win tonight will do wonders. I think a win tonight and a win Saturday, you know, even though we have a game that City will have a game in hand, you know, Arsenal can sit on top of the league and be in the Champions League semi-final. I mean, if it'll feel a whole lot better as an Arsenal or Gunner. If you know, sitting the end come, you know, Sunday night, you know, when all said and done, is that, you know, City go to the Champions League, the FA Cup final, yes. But, you know, who knows, you know, City could be knocked out of the Champions League quarterfinals. Arsenal could be in the semifinals and top of the league, you know, with games in hand. But, you know, they say points on board is better than, you know, games in hand.
Yeah. So, do you have any other topics you want to bring up before we end?
No, I'm all good.
Okay. So, guys, enjoy the match tonight. I hope we can get a win to get ourselves progressing to the next round of the Champions League. Come on, you Gunners.
Let's go, Gunners, and make the semi-finals for the first time. What? How many years is it? 14 years?
Something like that.
12 years or 16 years or something like that.
Okay, cheers, guys. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye.